Both a Blessing and a Curse, written by Wandering Jedi Historian and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars Rebels fic, written and potted in collaboration for Pod Together 2024, and is part of the When a Fulcrum Moves series.
Tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above.
His memory was both a blessing and a curse. Alexander Kallus had known this for many years. Since his utterly unexpected return to the past, he'd had periods where he was grateful for it, and ones where he desperately wished he could forget. Even knowing he'd made a difference on Lassan this time, he knew the memories, the nightmares of the first time, would never fade. Still, he'd suffer the nightmares for 10 lifetimes if it meant being able to use his memories, his knowledge, to bring down the Empire. Kallus had known, approximately, when the various rebel cells began actively operating. That allowed him to begin seeking out Ahsoka Tano the moment it became reasonable to do so. Like the Queen of Lassan, she'd murmured that there was something about him, though she'd referenced the Force, not the Ashla. Kallus didn't care what anyone called it, not really. While he didn't appreciate being made to feel a pawn, if it meant he could save millions of lives, he'd deal with it. He also knew, more specifically, when Hera Syndulla left Ryloth and even the approximate timing of her first meeting with Kanan Jarrus. That hadn't changed in this timeline. He was less certain when they first met one Garazab Aurelius, but there was no guarantee of that. Not this time. Not with what Kallus himself had changed. Perhaps that was the hardest part in the years since Lassan. Kallus did not know where Zeb was. There were rumors, whispers, about the Lassat royal family. The high bounties still officially on the guilds' books, buried under full details upon acceptance of contract only, seals at the Empire's request, told Kallus that they were safe. That didn't mean Zeb was with them. After all, how would he have found them? Hells, it didn't even mean that he knew that the royal family had lived. Part of Kallus desperately wanted to search Zeb out, even just to be sure he was all right. But he could not. He was Fulcrum, and he had a job to do. The date he'd first seen the name The Ghost cross his desk was forever burned into Kallus's memory. And that date was getting closer. At least this time, he was already working with the Rebellion. He was already a Fulcrum agent, not just by his own declaration, but as far as the growing Rebellion was concerned. It had always been his goal to have intel on the construction of the Death Star by the time he first met the Ghost crew, whoever it happened to be this time around. He didn't have as much as he'd hoped for, and it rankled. All he had was confirmation of orbital construction at Geonosis. But they'd already known that. Alexander Kallus was once again ISB 21, and there were still things beyond his ability to discover. He hated it. In the years since Lassan, he'd carefully, quietly, saved the lives of a number of rebels and rebel sympathizers. It made more of a difference than he'd anticipated. The Rebellion was already more coherent than it had been at this stage in his first timeline. He told himself, in those first few days, that if all he managed to change was saving the Lassat royal family, then it was enough. Kallus had a rule he'd lived by for years. His job required a lot of lying, of hiding, deflecting, scheming. He'd lie to the galaxy if needed, but he never lied to himself. Just saving the Lassat royal family wasn't enough. not when he could do more, save more. Alderaan became his next goal. Let the other scattered rebels worry about all the other things along the way. He had a bigger target. Save Alderaan, preferably by stopping the Death Star in general. The bow rifle in its rack reminded him of all that had been and all that could be. His years in the past had changed him. Kallus was self-aware enough to know that. Would this timeline Zeb even like him? Hells, he wasn't sure what Zeb had actually liked about him before, or even why Zeb liked him. He'd done so much harm that Zeb should have only ever looked at him with hate. Closing his eyes, Kallus blew out a harsh breath. It did no good to dwell on that. He'd accepted that he'd never see the other Zeb again. The bigger struggle was asking himself if it would even be right to approach this Zeb. He knew so many things, intimate pieces of Zeb's past. But this Zeb would never get to choose to tell him those things. He already knew them. With his typical ruthless efficiency, Kallus shoved those thoughts away too. He'd decided long ago not to intentionally go looking for Garazeb Aurelius. He had too much to do if he was to try and get the rebels the necessary intelligence on the Death Star in time to save Alderaan. He knew that Galen Erso had designed it. He knew the Empire was building it. The problem was, he didn't know when the plans were moved from Eadu to Scarif. Odds were the plans had only been moved once Krennic was sure they were finalized. But Kallus didn't know how many years before Alderaan and the Battle of Yavin that had happened. The files that Cassian Andor, Jyn Erso, and the Rogue One crew had managed to secure didn't include that information. If he'd known when the plans were archived, he'd have come up with a plan to get himself to Scarif to get a hold of them early, but he didn't. Showing too much interest in the data repository on Scarif would only get him noticed in the worst ways. If he'd come back earlier in his own history, he could have altered his career path and put himself on a path to being stationed at Scarif. But he had not, and Kallus had long ago learned the dangers of focusing on what if. Kallus looked back at the report in his hands. He had work to do. And if in 16 days' time, the first mention of the ghost came across his desk once more, he'd decide then what to do. There really hadn't ever been a choice, had there? Kallus realized it with all the force of a speeder crash. He had to do it. As he looked at the report from Lothal, he realized the risk was too great if he let this go to anyone else. Alexander Kallus was still ISB-21, and he needed to act like it if he was going to continue to be a useful Fulcrum agent. This wasn't just about him. It wasn't about his feelings. Hera, Kanan, and Ezra, of course he hoped they still found Ezra, were too important. Kallus couldn't risk this assignment going to someone else, someone who might actually stop them. It had to be him. He had to put his complicated mess of emotions aside and be Fulcrum. Hells, be ISB-21. Kallus had perfected his professional mask. He needed it now more than ever. The stakes were too high for anything else. Minor but consistent trouble. Possible involvement with larger criminal enterprises. Kallus looked over the words again and laughed. Whoever had written this report truly had no idea what they were dealing with. Minor trouble. He was fairly sure Kanan and Hera would both be offended by that label. Chopper certainly would. Sabine, too, if she was with them again. Kallus smiled as he thought of Zeb. His Zeb's reaction. He could almost hear Zeb's voice grumbling. I'll show them minor trouble. The report mentioned a female Twi'lek, an adult male human, and possibly other crew members. Vague enough that Kallus would be able to get away with a scathing assessment of whoever was responsible for it. Possibly other crew members. Just how incompetent were these people? He didn't remember the Lothal Imperial garrison being this bad the first time around. He wondered if he'd pushed that knowledge to the back of his mind, or if it was different this time for some as-yet-unknown reason. After logging his acceptance of the assignment, Kallus began to plot. He needed to assess how much had changed for the Ghost Crew. While Lassan continued to be the biggest change he'd made, it wasn't the only one, and he didn't know how much that affected them. He also had to decide if he was going to out himself as a Fulcrum agent to them or not. At this point, only Hira would know that they were a rebel cell. Only Hira knew that many of their jobs were actually assignments from Ahsoka. Changing that had the potential for massive repercussions, ones Kallus wasn't sure he could justify for nothing but the sake of his own desperate desire to not be seen as their enemy. He'd lived that once, and the idea of a repeat sat like ice in his gut. Still, he was Alexander Kallus. He was ISB 21. He was Fulcrum. He had a mission. He would carry it out, regardless of personal cost. That was what he did. That was what kept him sane, kept him going in the years since he was thrown back into the past. One thing he could do, one thing he needed to do, was notify Ahsoka that one of her rebel cells had hit Imperial radar solidly enough to have ISB on their tail. Truthfully, he didn't know enough about this particular aspect of things to know if Ahsoka would warn Hira or not. Regardless, he would be remiss if he did not pass along the warning. The comm was highly encrypted, and his outgoing signals were buried in the noise of Imperial communications.
Spectres no longer invisible. ISB investigation ordered. Will handle.
It was a little vague, he'd grant, but it said everything that truly needed to be said. Even with the best encryption possible, there was always a risk, so less information was generally better anyway. Logically, Kallus knew that, but occasionally, he still caught himself wanting to say more. Whether Ahsoka passed on the warning or not, at least he'd let her know. And he'd do his best to keep the Spectres out of Imperial hands. Memories of Mustafar welled up inside him. Kanan and the Inquisitor. The interrogation droid. Kallus swallowed hard and forcefully pushed the memories away. It gave the rebels the push they needed to unify. There was no denying that. Ezra's heartfelt plea across the galaxy, followed by his relentless determination to save Kanan, Kallus wondered if Ezra truly understood the impact of what he'd done. He doubted it, not because he didn't think Ezra was smart enough for it, but rather because Ezra never quite seemed to grasp how important he was to things. Rising from his desk, Kallus ran through the mental list of all the things he'd need to take with him to Lothal. His eyes fell on his bow rifle. It was coming with him, of course it was. He couldn't help but wonder how this Zeb, if he was with Kanan and Hira, would react to the bow rifle. Lassan wasn't the massacre it had been the first time around, but it was still horrific. Too many of Zeb's people still died, even without the T7 ion disruptors. Zeb would still have every reason to hate an Imperial carrying one of his people's weapons. Another proverbial bridge to cross when and if he reached it, Kallus mused. He packed his gear with careful, practiced efficiency. Right on schedule, he stepped onto the ship that would take him to Lothal. Whether he was ready for this or not, it was time. Lothal was exactly as it had been the first time. That realization caused a strange mix of relief and uncertainty. In some ways, it felt grounding, Lothal being so much as it had been. There was no logical reason Lothal would be any different. Kallus knew that. None of his actions thus far had been significant enough to outright impact this out-of-the-way world. Still, he couldn't help but feel a little useless and ineffective in the face of it, too. After all, what was the point if nothing changed? Kallus shook his head sharply as if to physically push those thoughts away. No, he would not allow himself to think that way. His goals were all big picture now. They would take time. Using his authority as an ISB agent, Kallus ordered a small ship for a scouting mission. It felt surprisingly good to be able to merely scowl menacingly at the officer on watch who tried to question him and have the man fold under the force of it. "I'll order one prepped for you right away, Agent Kallus," the man assured. Kallus smirked and nodded. "Good. And next time, just do what I say." The man nodded enthusiastically. "Of course, sir." There were some benefits to the ISB's reputation, after all. His own didn't quite have enough impact on these people. Yet, he would change that while he was here. He had to if he was going to properly control this mission. He couldn't let blundering subordinates undo all his hard work, after all. As he headed for the hangar, Callis smiled to himself. It was ironic, really. The first time around, he had to worry about the general incompetence of the average Imperial lackey ruining his hard work to capture the Spectres. This time, he had to worry about said lackeys ruining his ability to fail to capture them. Perhaps this really was just the Force or Ashla's idea of a joke, after all. The ghost looked just as he remembered it. For the first time, Callis wished his helmet covered his face fully, so he didn't have to worry about what his expression gave away. He wouldn't have to worry that the deep ache that had taken root in his heart was visible to others. There may not be anyone else with him on this small one-man ship, but this would be far from his only sighting of the ghost, and he needed to get it together. He hadn't expected seeing that blasted ship to hurt so much. He was prepared, or so he'd thought, for seeing its crew to be painful. Callis had not anticipated just the ship itself evoking any kind of emotion. An oversight on his part, it would seem. He knew better now. There was Hera and Kanan, Chopper and Sabine. No sign of Ezra yet, but Callis hadn't expected him. They hadn't met Ezra yet, though the time was coming rapidly. Just a few days from now, if he had his dates right. Callis watched and waited. He needed to know if Zeb was there. Carabast! Callis heard the word before he saw the voice's owner. A heartbeat later, and there was Zeb, stomping down the ghost's ramp to shout something at Chopper. Oh, Force. Callis balled his hands into fists. He'd thought he was ready for this moment, but he wasn't. How could he ever have thought he would be? There was no preparing for this moment. He knew now, though, the answer he'd needed for so long. Whatever else had changed, Zeb had still found his way to the ghost. A strange mix of relief, guilt, shame, and desperate longing swept through Callis as he watched. He wanted to go to them, tell them everything, and hope to be accepted. After all, they had not experienced suffering at his hands the way their counterparts in his original timeline had. Surely they would be open to accepting a fellow rebel, even if only Hera really knew that's what they were. But he could not. He was Fulcrum, and he had a job to do. For now, it had to be enough. The end.
But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this?